The Big Red Couch, the podcast about making role-playing games. A group of GMs and players draw ideas from the mystery box and bring their game pitches to you. In which our heroes draw a card.
This will be the drawing for episode 38 of The Big Red Couch. Welcome, and I'm going to make Craig put his hand in the barrel.
Oh god, it's got my finger! I have a card. This is another one that comes to us from the spam factory. In this case, Spambot Factory Outlet.
So it's literally the factory.
Yeah, so thanks, FO. It reads, Criminal Investigation. Partnership between NTT and Docomo. Single op.
Interesting. Okay, I'm starting to regret putting that in there.
But you seem so keen.
I happen to know those are Japanese mobile phone companies.
Ooh, that actually adds some context.
Yeah.
I think when I put it in there, I was thinking, are these governmental? Are these companies? What's going on here?
Docomo definitely is.
All right.
Okay, yeah. We've got places we can go from there.
And this is factory outlet spam. So like seconds or shop stuff.
Yeah, shop-worn spam.
Excellent.
They've already tried it in other places and it didn't work and it was returned scuffed. And so they've sent it on. That's how it works, right?
Yep. Definitely.
Okay. I would bet my bottom dollar that was actually trying to sell me a coat or a bag or something rather than...
Or a criminal investigation.
Or a criminal investigation. So, yeah, that's that.
All right, let's see what we come up with.
All right.
See you soon.
Some days later...
Hello, listener, and welcome to episode 38 of The Big Red Couch. Today on the microphone we have myself, Craig...
Ben...
Tonya...
Craig... Ah, fuck, I did it again!
That was Kevin.
I don't think that's just Kevin. I think we need to point out that is noted tertiary educator, Dr. Kevin.
Yeah, what does that say?
Cannot remember our name.
That was awesome.
But how culturally relevant is your name? I mean, is that important to your field of study?
It is if he wants tenure.
what he said. Tenure doesn't really exist, even in the places where it claims to exist now. So who cares?
Our idea for today comes from those hard-working spam bots. This one's from Factory Outlet and reads, Criminal Investigation. Partnership between NTT and Docomo. Single op.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do the spam bot thing anymore.
That would be a kindness.
Oh, we have to keep the German one that I will not specify because it'll spoil the surprise.
That is true.
German spam bot. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, you had me at German Spambot.
Who's got ideas, I guess?
I have a bit of an idea. I admittedly had trouble with this one.
I had an idea kind of in revenge at the whole concept, and Tonya has inherited junk end if she wants it.
That's true. I also have a couple of ideas of my own that came to me in my sleep, and I kind of woke up and thought, no, that's not really a thing.
I've cobbled together an entire campaign in the last 60 minutes.
Oh my god!
Well, not like with stats or anything, but I think this would probably... In fact, if it's not already a campaign, I'd be mildly surprised.
I think we are a podcast that has mostly evolved beyond stats.
Hey, they're coming back. They're retro now.
Retro is cool. Like Fezzes. Fezzes are cool.
I had a student in class the other day who was too young to know who Kurt Russell was.
Does Kurt Russell come with, like, an age restriction? Is he, like, R13 or something?
I don't know. They're getting too young to recognise all sorts of terrifying things, but that was just the most recent example.
What was the last film Kurt Russell was in? Sky High, maybe? Or...
I think he did... he was in Death Proof, one of the grindhouse films with Tarantino and Rodriguez.
Okay.
He may have done something since then as well, but not this demographic.
You need to get, like, a media pack together. That is pretty much the equivalent of the Billy Joel song, We Didn't Start the Fire, but at about four times the speed, and just with all the cultural references from the previous 30 years you think you might hit, and just have it spliced together extremely quickly.
The trouble is that it's marching on so quickly that what I assume people know just isn't. There are kids who are too young to remember The Matrix at university.
I feel very old.
Yes!
Yeah. That's just scary. Then again, Weird Al is back, and apparently, you know, within a breath of ruling the world.
I took an extra long lunch break just in order to see the second Matrix film, which really shows that I had a very poor decision-making ability.
I'm sure if you got called on it at work, you could point out that it was both your crime and your punishment, and it would have been fine.
I remember going to see the second Matrix film, and the first reel was really badly out of sync, and nobody was paying attention to it. So when it burned through, there was kind of this minute and a half of people in the audience looking at each other saying, "Are you going to tell them? I'm not going to. Are you going to tell them?" So we kind of got... We all got to watch it for free. They gave us our money back as we were walking out, and I don't think anyone came back to get another ticket.
Yeah. Well, given that Ben has written an entire campaign, and I can't actually see his screen, and I'd like to point out that he's written it in Notepad.
I say it's coming back. Retro is cool.
Okay. Well, bear in mind, yeah, there is a, I think, an Emmy Award-winning role-playing game that is entirely a text document. So I think Ben should go first.
All right. I'll give it a crack. Based on the very, very simple thing, the companies referenced in the spam article, whatever that counts as, are Japanese, and it has the phrase single op, I immediately thought Shadowrun.
That's fair.
Looking into the names of the organizations a little, it doesn't make any sense, particularly because NTT owns Docomo in the real world. One is a subsidiary of the other. One's the NTT is the old national telecoms provider, and Docomo was their hip, sexy mobile spin-off. It's probably more complicated than that, given the nature of corporate structures everywhere. But the idea I thought was that in the course of a campaign, you have your normal Shadowrun shenanigans. They blow stuff up, they run around, they hack databases. Excellent. That's all fun. And then they come across something secluded, something out of the way, and they find some information that two members of the gigantic corporate oligarchy are in the process or planning to merge. And this is huge. I don't remember the names of the various mega corporations off the top of my head, but basically pick a couple. The idea would be pick a couple of them where in normal practice, as far as everyday folk would consider, this would be unthinkable, and the result of the merger would be insanely powerful.
The Zaibatsu and the Megacorp merging.
Pretty much, yeah. So this would go from it being members of an oligarchy to being an unstoppable force. Knowing this information, the party could just sit on it, invest some shares wisely, and ride off into this glorious new future, knowing that terrible things are likely to come about. Because megacorps in Shadowrun are even less ethical than they are in the real world.
I think that was true at the time of writing.
It's true
anymore.
That also sounds an awful lot like the beginning of a dark conspiracy game where the lawyer turns up and you slam the door in his face. That's not playing the game.
Well, the game can continue. It's just that the world, they made a decision, and the world around them will evolve in a particular way. Also, if the interested parties find out, in the interests of, you know, preventing insider trading and murdering their asses, they're probably going to murder their asses just to keep the information under wraps as long as possible. If your party are idealistic or want to help the folks, you know, they presumably have something in common with, they might want to try and get in the way, which, you know, is going to be exciting. It's going to be a large amount of personal danger involved in that. Just kind of trying to just, like, disseminate the information publicly and say, ooh, we'll do the whole WikiLeaks thing and try and get it out there, will cause major turmoil with an sort of uncertain outcome. Yeah, it's more of a campaign setting than the actual objective. The players get to choose their approach to what they think the world should be like in the future. They can't really go and shoot the corporations in the head and stop them misbehaving. If they become very inventive, they might be able to target, you know, the individual people and make them change their minds or something. But while this isn't like a complete fait accompli, it's something that has got an enormous amount of momentum, and they'd have to be very inventive to stop.
I think you probably run something along the lines of a leverage game where your players are in a position to have this information, so their day jobs are part of these companies, install themselves as part of these companies in order with the specific goal of spoiling the merger.
Yeah, that's definitely, that would be something, that would be an approach that I would hope the party would come up with and consider and say, can we get in there and do something? But overall, as the game goes, they could choose let's just be Shadowruns with a particularly large investment portfolio in this organization, and we'll just see what happens after that. The consequences will still come into the game because the world is changing around them. That's not something that they can go and say, well, if we turn up on this day and the ritual is going on and we break a few heads, it's all sorted. It's something of a more, it's more of a paradigm shift in the world they live in.
Okay.
Thinking about it from a player point of view, it would be entertaining, though possibly very, very difficult, assuming you've decided that this merger is something that you don't want to go ahead, if you're essentially try to work both sides of the problem. So you want to make sure that the merger doesn't go ahead, but you want to milk as much money as you possibly can from the situation in the meantime.
Well, that's starting to sound like leverage again.
There's various options that you could do with it. I mean, I'm thinking of Revolution, the TV show. The whole thing of figuring out that there is a political alliance between two of the big players on the field, and that this is going to be troubling for future developments. And so various people do things half-cocked because it's Revolution and they like that, but try to foment a war between them, try to turn them against each other, try to get other third parties involved and say, that would be really bad for everybody. Don't you want to kick that particular hornet's nest? All that kind of mess, all of which is going to change the world. It is interesting times.
If I think back to the various Shadowrun games I've been in, the characters are are very much the heroes of the story, but they're not entirely the protagonists. It's often, and this is possibly just the games I've played in, they're often sent somewhere by some guy to do something. Whereas a setting like that offers the opportunity of the Shadowrunners kind of getting ahead of the game, as it were.
Yeah, that way they're not just cat's paws. They're people in the know. They're not the most powerful people in the know, but they know something, which is, yeah, that's a bit different from a lot of the I'm running around with a paper bag over my head feeling that you get in some Shadowrun games.
If you've got a party who know about this piece of information, they maybe don't want to leak the entire thing at one go, but they can look at it, decide, well, this little bit over here, it would be useful to buggering that merger up if this third company knew about it. How do we get them to pay us for that information?
Yeah, that could work. I mean, another option would be if they were worried about being rubbed out because the companies didn't like the idea of outsider trading, but they were equally concerned about what would happen if it was just blown wide open WikiLeaks style, is it would be really interesting to be in a situation where it's not just this group of Shadowrunners getting ahead of the situation, it's the Runner network as a whole, so that the information leaks WikiLeaks style onto the darknets. And these people just basically say, we may not make it out the week, but you guys need to know what's going on with this. And so it goes out through the Decker networks, it goes out through the street level networks, and all of the Runners know about it.
Right. That would be really interesting. So you're effectively doing a grassroots, this thing is such a heinous concept that all these disparate runners come together,
yeah,
and start working. So that would actually be quite a nice approach and quite uplifting. Regardless of the way that the players couch it, I would make sure that it's very apparent that Universe A, where these two companies merge sort of inexorably, is going to be a relatively smooth process until, you know, they become fused together and this huge organization starts deciding to do things. And that could be a while off. The idea that the preventing them from coming together, disrupting all of these inexorable mechanisms, is going to cause chaos. It might be a chaos with a good outcome eventually, but it will cause chaos. So the price of stepping in and trying to change the world is you change the world. And part of that will be your responsibility. And the entire thing is like a gigantic ethical barometer for your Shadowrun party, which could end in tears very easily. But I quite like the idea, right this morning, last hour and a half, this is appealing to me as a way of approaching a Shadowrun game.
I'm imagining at the moment what would happen if you suddenly wiped Microsoft off the map as a company.
Wow.
And I'm thinking less from the point of view of, oh, they've dropped on the stock exchange, and more from the point of view of, all of those automatic updates don't happen. All of those license checks don't happen.
Wow.
It's not going to be immediate, but I'm assuming that in fairly short order, those security vulnerabilities and just those slight wigginesses of software are going to multiply.
Fairly quickly in some areas, because that means you've got things like anything that requires games for Windows Live no longer works. Just like that.
Doesn't really work now, but I get the idea.
Fine, let's hit Kevin where it hurts. Valve. Steam drops off the net.
Yeah, that would be a bummer.
There you go, see? You gotta hit them where they live.
Yeah, that's why I've been mostly getting fingers off good old games in the Humble Store recently. But anyway,
you were preparing for the digital apocalypse.
Yes,
I miss the internet.
Come on, it's just full of pornography and pictures of cats.
Sometimes at the same time. But if we lose Apple or something like that at the same time, then again you've got very different approaches to tech and different speeds at which stuff stops working.
As the owner of an iPhone? Yes, exactly. You do.
Exactly. So that is a distributed communications network where the infrastructure stops. And in the Shadowrun context, you could look at all sorts of knock-on consequences, like what other corporations have bought into using that infrastructure. So what happens if it turns out that for certain cities, because of bidding processes, Lone Star Security is cut off from communications? Whoops.
This has gotten a bit more apocalyptic than I was anticipating, but...
It's rapidly fixable by Lone Star throwing a lot of money at it, but we were talking about a certain degree of disruption and chaos.
When I say chaos, that the outcome is uncertain. They don't know. You wound me. You assumed that everything is everything is going to end in a fireball and pain.
Suggestions you have often do.
Yeah, it's true. I must say. I set myself up. I was more couching it that... You could have an amount of certainty if you let the tectonic plates of these giant companies crash into one another. If you manage to get them to miss, who knows what's going to happen? And, you know, they could be the authors of that destiny to a degree.
That is true. I mean, I guess my approach to gaming generally is I don't know where things are going to go, and wherever it does go is going to be framed around what the players do. So it's...
I guess it's possibly that I was thinking of this to a degree. That's the devil's bargain. The right. Idea that if they leave well enough alone, or possibly this is the best understood outcome, we can say buy shares. We're clever enough to buy shares in these organizations when everything is moving on this particular trajectory, and we'll probably come out okay. But it means standing back and not acting.
Well, I mean, I think it's something that you could tell a lot of interesting stories with, depending on the ethical barometer that the players follow. Because if this is kind of a climactic campaign where they've been in the world for a while, they've made connections, they've made enemies, they've made friends, they've got more gear, all this sort of stuff. If they stand back and invest, it would be entertaining to have other people in the Shadowrun network also get hold of this information and take a different stance. A different runner group that they've run into in the past and either have sort of allied with and sort of not. They're the ones that leak the information to the darknet.
That would definitely make them deprotagonize the party to a degree, but yeah.
Well, it would and it wouldn't, in terms of that basically the story at that point is different, in terms of that you've got other Shadowrun groups trying to engage with them as a possible fulcrum point because they're inside the system. In the same way as if the player groups are the ones who leak things to the darknet will try to stop it and get involved, but the information is out there, you could equally have opposition coming from Shadowrun groups who have done the ethical barometer failure and have invested.
Yeah, I would see more possibilities with the players being the more idealistic types and have, you know, slightly more conservative folks deciding that, you could probably stop that now.
That sounds like a workable framework for things. Shadowrun or Bulldogs, anything like that, really.
Yeah, anything with that overhead of corporate control and in a structured sort of hierarchical society. Well, not quite hierarchical, but yeah.
It wouldn't necessarily have to be completely in that framework. I mean, I was thinking of something like if you're in Tribe 8 or Bulldogs or something where the concept of the game is that you're allowed to exist because you're in a neutral zone that nobody cares about. And figuring out that, surprisingly, there's been there's a deal on the horizon that's going to make you no longer neutral, which means you get flattened by either side.
Or subsumed, which is not appealing.
And this question of what do you do? You've got insider knowledge of a really big change on the horizon. Do you stop it, or do you try to profit off it?
I think I like the alternative to the stop ritual, save world, because there's not a lot of ethical daylight in something like that. They have to save the world. All their stuff is there.
I mean, I am thinking of various occasions I have heard of hijack ritual take over world.
Okay, yeah, the barometer has probably exploded at that point.
Yes. Then again, I've heard Shadowrun stories from some genuinely from some people for whom it seems to bring out a mental illness. So, like that particular group that figured out rules for how strong you had to be before you could throw babies through police cars.
What?
I don't know. I just don't know, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, we've probably crossed the line with that one. So that was my idea. Except the baby thing, it's not my idea.
Yeah. The big red couch disavows any knowledge of people doing calculations.
Yeah, that was special. I sort of have a stupid idea.
I think that sounds like you putting your hand up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that was your stupid idea, putting your hand up.
It was kind of stupid. Well, the basic concept that I had was that the quote we got from the spam bot of criminal investigation partnership between NTT and Docomo single op sounded so ridiculously high on the Clancy score of just hard-boiled jargon and everything else, that it would be really fun to say that that is a legitimate description of what happens, but what happens is also deeply stupid. So that NTT and Docomo are something like they're two people in a bureaucratic organization with really stupid titles, and they are, in fact, the Red Dwarf equivalent of the chicken soup maintenance vendors.
Okay.
Basically do some kind of hybrid between high-level government agencies and office space.
Oh, Lord.
Right. That's frightening.
And somebody who is technically part of, or Get Smart would be another angle. That you have people whose jobs are, in effect, the male person, and someone else whose job is primarily...
female person. Sorry.
Good point. People with dead-end jobs, with stupid, jargony things, where you can't talk to anybody else because they don't have clearance, and it's this whole very red tape-filled thing, except, for whatever reason, these two people with no real authority, or this group of people with no real authority, find out something and do stuff. It wasn't a terribly detailed idea, but very simple system. But the idea of that a lot of the opposition to them achieving things was their own side and the labyrinthine bureaucracies of it. So something like Quags, where you could have a skill in fudging paperwork or something and actually have that matter.
I'm now imagining something where the root of the game is we have heard that due to budget constraints, chocolate biscuits are no longer being provided by the company on Fridays. We must change this in such a way as the company never knows it was changed back.
There's that, or possibly that their initial motivation is that they don't want to lose Chocolate Biscuit Fridays. Yeah. Since it turns out that the loss of Chocolate Biscuit Fridays was actually a funding reallocation that was done for nefarious purposes because... And it's this whole kind of unraveling thing where these idiots on the hunt for chocolate biscuits actually help stop a disaster or a takeover for silly reasons in silly ways, and everyone is on board with the characters that they're playing, not necessarily comprehending what they're part of.
That could be fun. I mean, the outcome being that they're suddenly stuck with choices at either end of the corridor. One that was like the glittering chocolate on Friday, yes, the chocolate biscuit Friday option glittering at one end, and the asbestos-free office glittering at the other. And having these numpties.
Which one I'd be Shadowrunning for?
Yes. Which one of these numpties torn between these things? Because they've just been through this epic quest to recover the chocolate biscuits, but then they discovered there's actually a pretty good reason that they're coming back.
Basically go for something really Tom Clancy in tone with characters who are really poorly suited for it, except possibly in their own minds.
I'm just remembering that in my own workplace, I'm not certain, but I think that they cut back to only having biscuit on Friday and fruit on the other days at roughly the same time that they fixed the aircon system so that we were no longer getting gases from the vent from the toilet stack being sucked into the air intake.
See, now that makes a certain amount of sense to me. Because that sounds to me like someone thought, okay, well, if we're going to have them breathing clean air, let's also prevent them from getting scurvy.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yar.
Logic checks out.
We need to build both you and Paul in Quags to see what your workplace would look like for this game.
And then never publish it.
Never. Ever.
Never. The world doesn't need that kind of dystopian setting. We already have Warhammer 40k.
It's true, which is a lot more fun.
And the My Little Pony role-playing game.
Several of them. Well, that was my entire concept. Basically, let's take this pitch, but make it stupid. So I'm done.
And I think you've succeeded.
Okay. I think it's actually like an entertaining idea if you get people on board as well.
Maybe not for a long-running campaign?
No.
No, not so much.
Are we ready to move on? Or?
Yep.
Probably.
Okay. The ideas that I had overnight were... The first one was actually Ben's fault, because I didn't know what NTT or Docomo were until he told us. The first thing that came to mind was a variation on the Crayons and Choo-Choos type board game, where you are, in fact, laying communication cables in the sea, as opposed to connecting train lines.
Interesting.
So yeah. I'm not entirely sure how that would work.
I don't know. There are mechanics that you could come up with where you can choose, like, Ticket to Ride to attempt to connect various locations with shorter cables, or try and run a really long cable if you've got the resources and jump ahead of the rest of the people so you get a faster connection and beat out the competition. But that's my telecoms nerd talking, and I'm going to go and stop now.
It sounds like you're in a better position to produce this as a working game than I ever would be. So that's a thing. The other idea that I had before I knew what the acronym stood for was if you have a secret club where people from various law enforcement and various organized crime syndicates basically go to blow off steam. I'm thinking more in the gambling line of things than anything else. It's the sort of situation where you could have people comparing notes on the quiet. If you could set it up so that you have a crime syndicate being able to complete a picture for a law enforcement agency, and a couple of people saying, we can't tell either of our higher-ups about this, but it needs to be dealt with. We will do this once. We will never speak of it again and never come back to this club. That's about as far as that thought went.
Sorry, who are the conspirators in this scenario?
Conspirators would be high-level lieutenants in a organized crime organization and sort of majors and captains in, say, the police or that kind of level in a federal or international agency.
Okay, I got the impression the action's taking place in a sort of a underworld Elysium, a kind of a neutral ground where these folks are hanging out pretty much and talking shop to a degree, but it's considered by the local folks involved in this kind of world to be neutral territory. Yeah, that's kind of cool. It sounds a bit like almost a LARPish sort of con game kind of deal.
I don't know. I think that's where it would start. But this is kind of where somebody lets slip something, or you could have the GM basically give out slips of information to all of the players. This is part of what people are playing poker for, is little dribs and drabs of information. And you could have them put together a picture of something, a huge conspiracy behind the scenes kind of thing.
I like the idea that they're kind of subordinate individuals, and their bosses, if they find out this is going on,
yeah,
they're going to turn them into motorway off-ramps.
It would need to be something that was huge and that would be detrimental to both organisations. I don't really have an idea of what that would be at this point.
The shape of how people are kind of running into each other and this whole informal poker thing is kind of reminding me of that section in The Wire where there just winds up being a shitty-ass diner where cops and the guys from the corners are having lunch. For exactly the same reason, that it's where you can get food in proximity to where shenanigans are happening.
Yeah.
And so they wind up just having lunch together. So grew out of something like that. That would be really interesting. The idea that you've got something that's detrimental to both organizations, but no one can formally acknowledge where this shit came from.
Yeah.
Is a very neat place to start.
I'm not entirely sure how it would move on from there, because you would have players simultaneously trying to do their own jobs without it looking like they're part of this game. It would be quite tense, I think.
I think you could almost do it as a leverage game, or a leverage style of game.
It sounds a bit... I don't know about if leverage would work quite as well, because you're normally all on the same side. This seems a bit more like a... like a vampire-esque wheeling and dealing kind of thing. But yeah, I'm like
semi-adversarial.
I was thinking that the game would be you are all on the same side this once.
Yeah. As part of this little conspiracy, you have to keep cover each other's back or you're all screwed. But most normally, you're not supposed to be this chummy.
Mm. That's kind of why I was thinking with the leverage thing, is that the complications of bad roles and other kind of things that the GM can set up are related to which organization you're part of, the theoretical conflict between them, but that everyone is part of the same group for story purposes.
Actually, that reminds me a little bit of the mechanic in Monsters and Other Childish Things, where you could set it up so that your relationship with your home organization is kind of your hit points.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like nice. It.
You can get punched right in the don.
Yeah.
Ow.
If you, as a cop character, have to stride into the captain's office and slap down your gun and your badge and say, I just can't take this anymore in order to go out and do your job properly.
Do I make my I'm a cop on the edge roll?
Yeah.
Presumably, if you fail it, you still do that and go storming out. Meanwhile, the captain looks at the other guy in the office and says, okay, I genuinely didn't think the coffee was that bad, but all right, fair enough. I'll accede to it. We'll get one of those capsule machines. Jesus, this is just overboard.
Or have everyone follow him.
Oh, wow. That's a failed role or a really good role?
One or two other, depending on what your hopes were.
Yeah, because I think a failed role could equally be, okay, don't let the door hit you in the ass, you're not coming back.
Yes, it's a difference between burning your bridges and, you know, lighting them sufficiently.
I do like the idea of a failed role leading to a mass walkout and strike action with this person who only wanted to go out there and do their job as a cop on the edge, suddenly finds themselves leading a police strike that encompasses half the city.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely succeeding too hard.
So a little bit of TFOS there.
A little bit of TFOS. I always liked that mechanic in TFOS.
Yeah. So I think that's dead.
That sounds intriguing.
Shall I do mine?
Yeah.
Okay. I went straight to Space Police.
Of course you did.
I have a reason this time.
Okay.
The Docomo thing, I hadn't actually realized it was a company, and it reminded me of this something from one of the Robert Heinlein books, where there's the Lunar Hong Kong Company, referred to as Luno Hoko,
yeah,
or something like that, which is what that reminded me of. And so I kind of latched onto that and the criminal investigation and thought, okay, what if you've got a bunch of different companies out there doing space stuff, resource extraction and the like, and it has turned into very much of the company town sort of environment. How do you police something like that?
As an external force or as a company cop?
I think as an external force. What's it like trying to be a policeman in a circumstance where when you're visiting such and such a colony to investigate a potential crime or maybe there's been a nasty accident or whatever, the people you're investigating are also the civic government and the coroner and the accident investigator.
Interesting. Okay. So in this circumstance, what's the single op, or have you spun off in a different
direction? I decided to spin off in a different direction because I couldn't really figure out how to tie that one in. Basically, the game would be probably a bit episodic, though if I was running it as a campaign, I'd try to take a few leaves from The Wire or other cop shows and try to sort of link things in, but it's essentially trying to do police work in a fairly complicated legal and commercial and indeed physical, gravitational environment.
Yeah, you could definitely play up the fish out of water angle. So if this organization / civilization is a bit insular and you're just not used to being on the freaking moon.
And if you've got the circumstance of, you know, a crime is happening, you're there, and nobody wants to talk because the company wouldn't like it.
That very much gives me a kind of a frontier feel. You could get inspiration from things like Defiance.
Deadwood.
The Sean Connery classic Outland.
That too, yes, you could go there.
Actual news reports about Foxconn.
Actual news reports about actual companies, yes.
The thing it reminds me of that it could be an entertaining thing to play with would be the kind of shenanigans you could see unfold in the October Day books from Seanan McGuire, where you have someone who is an authority of a fey holding, but as soon as she's outside of that holding, she's a representative, but in other fiefdoms and other kingdoms that may or may not recognize her authority or the law she's backing on a whim. What happens if you go into a company town and because things have gone a little bit south, You know, you're trying to investigate something in a circumstance where the CEO of that company town has said, yeah, we don't recognize your authority.
That is a problem.
And how you try to come at it sideways.
And depending on the size of the crime, it could be anything from, yeah, those dudes are dead, we don't care. Your tin means nothing here.
I mean, there's another example as the graphic novel Ocean from Warren Ellis, representative of some, I think the UN organization gets sent out to explore problems that are happening around Europa, and there are company space stations out at that end of the solar system that have arranged things in a particular chain of legal bureaucracy as to be completely independent.
That's kind of the sort of thing I'm thinking of trying to be a cop in that circumstance. I hadn't thought specifically of Ocean, but yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so who are your players? Are they the...
I think they're the police.
Okay.
I think they're the travelling cops. They're the people trying to create a good outcome from a bad circumstance.
You know what would be a really bizarre system to use for this? Dogs in the Space Vineyard.
Ooh, actually perfect. You're freaking genius. Yep. It'd be less Mormonism, but possibly with a slightly quirky corporate culture. Maybe they're not entire outsiders. They're like from headquarters. They have to approach the problem in a certain way to avoid people losing face or certain regulations being disrupted. But yeah, that's kind of...
Dogs in the vacuum.
I like it. Yep. So...
When are you running it?
I don't know.
Do any of us actually have a copy of Dogs in
the... I think I've got a virtual copy, yeah.
Oh my.
I haven't actually managed to read all of it because it came in a big pile and I was intimidated by the mass of other games.
That's fair. We do have a John tent, if anyone's interested.
Yep.
May as well, yeah. Be rude not to. He went to all the trouble of sending it to us.
That is very true. So, here we go. John says, this makes me think of a buddy cop movie sort of scenario where initially mismatched partners are forced to work together to deal with some threat, except instead of people, we have entire corporations. What situation could result in anyone having both the authority and the need to force two entire corporations to come together like that? The apocalypse, of course. A mad doomsday cult has completed an invocation that has started the process of bringing a great old one to Earth to eat everyone's brains. The occult secret services, capital laundry services from the Charles Stross books with the serial numbers filed off, have identified a way to stop the process, but it requires significant, specially designed telecommunications infrastructure and the computing resources, as magic is information-based branch of mathematics. The agency has used a number of highly secret legal provisions to seize ownership of two large competing telecom companies, in a US context, think Verizon and AT&T, and forcibly merge them. This concentrates the resources they need under one leadership structure and makes security easier. The players take the role of various senior executives at one or both of these companies, with varying responsibilities. The overriding goal is to build an enormous, continent-spanning new communications network with particular physical geometry representative of a spell that will reinforce the barriers between universes when data and energy is pumped through it. It has to be finished before 2 years from now, when the stars are right. If the plan isn't completed on time or doesn't work, the Shadow Agency's backup plan will require them to nuke an entire large city to power their defensive spell by human sacrifice. This contingency probably isn't openly shared with the players, but they'd probably hear enough hints to piece it together. The players must ensure the work can be designed and built on a technical and logistical level. They must manage the corporate merger on the level of technology integration, office politics, and morale. They must prevent any knowledge of the supernatural from being leaked out to the general public or to any employees who don't have clearance, nearly all of them. They must protect the project from sabotage by mad cultists and interference from well-meaning activists who think the whole thing is another tool of the surveillance state. To be fair, they wouldn't be wrong on that. That's my interjection rather than yours.
Yeah, yeah.
Tentatively, I think the player characters spend little time acting in their individual capacity as part of gameplay. Instead, their decisions and challenges are in keeping with their places at the highest level of management, and they act through the activities of entire departments that report to them.
Interesting.
Well done, John.
I have the fear now, having just been through a merger of two telecoms organizations, the idea of them actually being set up eldersign.com.
I get the impression that John probably is thinking of something that is a little more fictionally smooth than what you just went through.
Well, any merger would go through, and the idea of it taking 2 years, I would move out of any population centres because that's just not going to fly. it's a lovely idea. It's only the time scale, I think, is the problem there. The idea of reversing the breakup of Bell Telephone so you can save the world is kind of awesome. And the idea of doing a fiber optic pentagram or something to harness the nation's energies.
Giant nested elder signs, one inside the other.
They're going to end up nuking a city, aren't they?
If it's in any way realistic, yes.
Right, okay. But fortunately, this is role-playing, so it doesn't have to be realistic.
Exactly.
It would, unfortunately, be, if it's based around project management and so forth, it is going to become Gantt chart quest.
I'm seeing this being a multi-session board game more than anything else. A lot like the challenges for changing the world in Dresden Files.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm probably too close to this because the abstraction to make it not somebody's horrible desk job would be necessary. You want to abstract it so that they are playing people with horrible desk jobs doing these things, but just not make the experience quite as soul-crushing.
I think if we focus on what John said at the end of that people are mainly acting through the departments under them, you could do something with Fate Accelerated or something along those lines where what people are rolling is payroll department. Or rolling R&D, basically have the different stats or approaches being the different branches of the companies.
Possibly, or you use the approaches like, I flashily make a PowerPoint presentation to motivate these departments, so you can keep the work underway, or something like that.
I'm wondering if you can kind of bodge something together so that you have, again, characters at different levels of the organisation, so that you have a few games that are, this is the new board of management making decisions, and then you break away to say, okay, what was the effect of those decisions? You guys are now player characters trying to lay cable against these sort of challenges, or you guys are now in R&D trying to figure out what needs to happen.
You could even work in a the odd combat session where it's saying, this data center is totally being run by cultists. Could you fix that, please? And zoom in to that particular thing.
You know, it could do worse than use the Atomic Robo RPG for this.
Yeah.
In terms of having, it's got a very rapid character gen system, so that we could have the department heads throwing kind of faction resources around the place down to the more street-level nooks in to implement a changeover of systems.
You have to install a new switch box with the new technology in cult-held territory.
Yeah, basically it could easily scale back and forth, and it would have that neat system where you can play people as powerful as you want. That just gives the GM more bennies, which can turn up somewhere else. It would be a good way of doing it.
And played like that, this does feel like a workable campaign for life. Each person has their cluster of characters rather than sort of one character who's getting steadily more weird as time goes on.
Yeah, I think we've chewed on that one.
I am a little concerned at how many of the suggestions for this week have turned into,
let's throw the apocalypse?
Well, let's throw the apocalypse at telecommunications networks.
It's pretty normal, to be fair. Just trying to get fiber installed has ended some sort of bizarre temporal paradox for us.
Well, maybe you're just getting it installed twice for some reason.
Or two modems will go twice as fast. Yes.
Oh, is that how it works? Sweet.
I'm thinking that's a pointed silence from the
dad. It's pretty pointy, yeah. Even the cat's ignoring me.
Well, the situation that we're in at the moment, where with the ISP that we're at, we can't get full high-speed, ultra-fast broadband. But when we do, we can get faster service for less money.
That makes no sense.
Well, it sounds like they want you to hang around until they can provide the service. Sounds like you were doing pretty well anyway, so how much are you hanging out for?
I honestly don't know.
Normal DSL is like $99 a month with no cap. We're on high-speed, which is something like 120-odd, no cap, but three times the speed of DSL. Then when ultra-fast fiber gets installed, which is being installed down the street at the moment, but we don't know what corner they're turning down, it will go back to $99 a month, no cap, for faster again.
Yeah, it's pretty much with the rollout here. We just have to wait for them to dig up the street a couple of times in different directions before it was possible for it to turn up. So, yeah, it is an odd situation. They're being subsidized to the tune of, I understand, something like 1,500, 1,600 South Pacific pesos per installation, and then charging slightly less than what they've been charging for ADSL. I have no idea how that's going to work, but if the infrastructure goes in, maybe we'll be in the 21st century.
Meanwhile, I'm out at Waiwera, where I can barely get a cell phone signal.
We're sorry.
So am I. So we've kicked the hell out of that idea.
I think we may be done.
All right.
Cool. So we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for joining us.
Well, next episode rather than next week.
You knew what I meant. And I said the clever thing.
All right. I guess that's it. Bye.
Bye.
Next time on the Big Red Couch.
But others were reluctant to leave. There are still things we can do from China. They have not even found the device, said one woman. Translated from French. Spambot Holo Soldiers.
Want to hear more of our shenanigans? Then go to hoarde.net and click on the button that looks like a couch. The Big Red Couch is released under Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 Unported from creativecommons.org. All music on the show comes from the album Universal Fluff Theory by Krakatoa. Visit them at krakatoa.com or follow the link from our page. See you next time!